In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The goal is to retain the word. Hold fast to the word, to keep the word planted deep in your heart. Only then will it produce an abundant fruit. Many hear the word, but few retain it. Many sit in pews like this all over the world, but few give second thoughts to the word of God throughout the week. Many come to worship, few come to receive that word from God. This parable is easy to understand. Jesus himself gives us the explanation. It's easy to understand, but it is hard to believe. This is not a one-time thing. Christ is not speaking only at the moment, only about the moment of your conversion, but every time you hear the word, whether here or in your homes, every time you hear that word, you are one of these four types of soil. The goal is to retain the word each and every time so that it produces an abundant crop in your life. Your heart is the soil. This is not a metaphor, this is a reality. The Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. What began as an intimate crafting by a gracious father turned into Adam's curse after the fall. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. For the wages of sin is death. Dirt is lifeless, barren. It cannot sprout life on its own. It cannot produce fruit on its own. It's good to be trampled upon. We sweep it out of our houses, and we even sweep it off of our driveways and sidewalks. We want nothing to do with it. It needs to be where it's supposed to be. Dirt has no capability of life in and of itself. That is our hearts, lifeless. Fallen man has no capability of life in and of himself. He cannot sprout life. There is no glowing ember. There is no spark of goodness. There is no ability to make a right decision for Christ. Dirt, dust, barren, lifeless. Such is the heart of all fallen men, because all are born in sin. So the word must come from outside. Life must come from outside of the soil. The power is in the seed, not in the soil. Life is in that seed, not in the soil. Life is in the word of God, not in your natural heart. The power is in the word of God, not in your heart. The sower sows the seed, and it does what seeds do. It sprouts life. The word of God never returns to him empty. It always accomplishes his purpose. It is the power of God. It is life. By it, the heavens were created. Through it, all things continue to exist, both on earth and in the heavens. And that word of God is Jesus, the word made flesh. He is the seed of the woman whom God promised would come and crush the serpent's head. He is the seed of Abraham, who would be a blessing to all nations. He is the seed of the virgin. In him is power, and in him is life. But unless a seed falls to the ground, dies, and is buried, it cannot give life. If you hold seeds in your hand, nothing will happen. As long as the seeds remain on the tree, they will not sprout an abundant crop. So unless Jesus, the Word made flesh, fell to the ground, died, and was buried, he could not give life. There was no other way. There he took away the condemning law, nailing it to the cross. There he carried your punishment, your guilt, your curse, by becoming a curse for you. There he suffered your death so that you might have his life. He came not to rule in Jerusalem. He came not to make this earth a better place, but he came so that you might have life. He came to be sacrificed, to suffer, to die, so that you might have the life with God forever. Forgiveness is preached in his name. There on that cross, he opened heaven. There he secured forgiveness, life, and salvation to a dying generation. There on that cross is life. But the seed of the woman could not remain dead in his grave. In him is power, in him is still life. Yes, he was dust, even as we are dust, but his dust was divine. His body was God's. So on that third day, he broke through his earthen bed into a beautiful vine. Christ lives, risen from the grave. He lives to give you this life. He lives so that you may live with God freely and forever in heaven. But to accomplish this, to give you this life, he must first be planted in your heart. It does you no good if Christ remains outside of you. He must be planted deep within your heart. Only then will you have life and an abundant harvest. Without him you have nothing, with him you have all things. So Christ doesn't just come to you one time in your life. He comes again and again. He comes in holy baptism. He comes in the preaching of forgiveness, his gospel. He comes in holy absolution. He comes in the blessed sacrament of the altar. He comes to give you life. He comes so that you may have an abundant harvest to the praise and glory of God. He comes so that you may have life now and forever in heaven. Many hear the word, few receive it. Many have received Christ. Few hold fast to him in their heart, in one ear, out the other. This parable serves as a warning for you and for me. Christ does not preach this to the Muslims or to the atheists, but to us Christians who busy ourselves with the Word of God daily. Every time we hear the Word of God, we are one of these four types of soil. But not everyone who hears the Word will receive it and receive life. There are many worldly threats that fill the hearts of fallen man. The dangers are real, and they threaten to rob you of Christ. The devil paints the word of God as merely the thoughts of a human. Each pastor says something different, so you can't be sure. Pick the one that you like the best. The devil is out there. And yet, what is the neglect of God's word if it is not the neglect of Christ? And if we daydream during the service, are we not ignoring our Savior who comes to give us life? The threat is real for you. Boulders fill your heart. There's a part of you that wants to conform to the world. It would be so much easier and you wouldn't have so much heartache. But then there's another part of you that seeks to live truly to God's holy word. You are torn in two directions. You seek to follow the word of God, but this is not always easy. At best, it gains a curious look. At worst, it leads to ridicule, or even worse. Peer pressure is a strong pull. The threat is real for you. Thorns fill your heart. Worries about life, about the future, about your kids, about health, about anything and everything. Worries fill our heart and threaten to choke out Christ. A heart divided cannot survive. The pursuit of riches or of wealth or of simply a good and easy life on this earth relegates Christ to second place. The threat is real for you. Each time you hear the word of God, you are one of these four types of soil. Each time you hear the word of God, something seeks to rip Christ away from you. The word of God is not meant to be preached and then simply forgotten. You do not get extra bonus points for just simply showing up on Sunday. That's not good enough. Hear the word and retain it in your heart. Mary treasured it and pondered it in hers. Faith holds on to Christ. So this is not an intellectual exercise that you need to know the right stuff. This is faith holding on to Christ, not letting go of Christ, meditating on Christ day and night. Oh, how we delight in the law of God, we sang in our song. We meditate on it day and night. And so you have come here driven by faith, and driven by faith alone. Perhaps you didn't want to get up this morning, that there were 15 other things you could have done, but you have come here by faith. Perhaps your parents dragged you here and you didn't have a choice. Perhaps your mind is somewhere else, on work, on chores, on schedules. Perhaps. But faith still wins out. Faith still seeks Christ where he is found. And faith is never disappointed in God. For here God comes to give you Christ yet again. Here God comes in word and in sacrament to fill you with life so that you may produce an abundant harvest to the praise and glory of God. Here he comes in the holy absolution, in the songs, in the hymns, in the psalms, in the word, in the sermon, and soon in the Holy Supper. Christ is yours, and God will never take him from you, but he graciously gives him to you in a variety of ways, and faith seeks to receive Christ in all these ways. For then Christ comes to kick out those rocks, break up the hard paths of our heart, and rip out the thorns, and to turn our crowded, barren heart into a beautiful, fruitful garden once more. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This parable is not hard to understand, but faith alone will believe what Christ says, that your salvation depends solely on him. Your life depends solely on what he does for you, even this day. Your good works depend solely on Christ and his gifts. If Christ does not come to you today, how can you have life? How can you remain in life? If Christ does not come to you, how can you live in love toward your neighbor? Christ does come to you this day, for God will never take him away from you. But he graciously preaches that forgiveness of sins found in Christ week after week. You have life now, and not only now, but you have life forever. So hold on to Christ and do not let him go. He is everything for you. The obstacles still remain. There are many threats to your faith that seek to choke it out. The obstacles are there. And yet God continues to preach. He continues to baptize. He continues to feed you so that you may have an abundant harvest to his praise and glory. There's always a reason not to receive it. There's always something else you can do on Sunday morning, something else you can think about. But faith desires to receive Christ. So come and receive Christ yet again. Come to his Holy Supper. Hear the word and put it into practice. Eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins, so that God may be praised in all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.